Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul discusses what a servant of God should look like who wants to serve in God's house. Have you ever been in a car wreck where the insurance wrote your car off completely? In other words, the insurance company looked at your vehicle and after assessing the damages determines it would actually be cheaper to replace your car than to fix it. That's what we call a write-off. Many people consider themselves write-offs when it comes to serving God. They think, I'm too damaged. They feel that they're more trouble than they're worth. So they write themselves off. They think, I can never fully be used by God. Maybe you've put yourself in that camp. Have you ever thought about what it takes to lead other people? Well, Paul tells us exactly what's needed in this chapter. And it may surprise you to learn that leaders are just ordinary people like you and me, who are simply faithful. Leaders don't need to be perfect or some type of spiritual elite, whatever that is. Nope, they're simply people who cling to Jesus every second, every day. Their number one quality? They're trustworthy, and they take that trust seriously. Maybe that's why Paul kicks off with that word in verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach. Now, there are two groups of leaders in this chapter. The first batch is called an overseer, which means a shepherd, someone who oversees or watches the sheep. Picture a shepherd. He or she doesn't live the sheep's lives for them. They just tell them where the green grass is. They lead them into good pasture, according to Psalm 23, and protect them from things that would harm them. The word pastor actually comes from the word pasture, the one who leads them into green pasture. Paul says that those pastors, teachers, and leaders should be above reproach. Well, that seems like a tall order. Maybe you've already got your pen out like an assessor ready to write yourself off there, but hold on. Click, click. Put that pen away. An overseer needs to be above reproach, sure. But shouldn't every Christian be? Look, leaders aren't some special breed of Christian. They're just Christians, Christians who live like they love Jesus. And that should be true of every believer. But in case you've mistaken being above reproach without being perfect, verses 2 through 7 are going to unpack exactly what it means to be above reproach. The verses from here on are a description of what that looks like. And take it from a guy who's been in ministry for 30 years, it just doesn't mean to be perfect. Let's pick it up in verse 2. Faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Able to teach. Notice that Paul does not say an amazing speaker. There's a slight nod to gifting, but a massive focus on character in this list. It seems that the major requirement for leadership is Christ-like character. But if a leader is to lead in God's house, they have to be able to lead their own family if they're going to lead God's. Verse 4, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? That's a great question, Paul. If what Paul's saying is true, then leaders ought to be some of the best parents and husbands you know, correct? Paul gives two more requirements. It might seem random, but let's read them to see what he says. Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. These two random requirements are so specific and disjointed that they seem like Paul's, oh yeah, statements, as in, oh yeah, one more thing. This is the type of advice you only get from a veteran, because these types of statements only come from experience, and experience is a hard teacher. It's often the best teacher. Paul is giving advice to Timothy, hoping he'll learn from Paul's own mistakes, knowing Timothy's going to make plenty of his own. In verse 8, Paul shifts to deacons. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. The word deacon means servant, and they first appear in Acts 6 after Pentecost, when the church grew so large that there needed to be people who could look after the physical day-to-day needs of the people of God. They were full of faith and the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 6. Still, Paul telling Timothy to appoint them from the church in Ephesus gives him a field guide so that he knows what type of people to appoint. Notice that Paul says a leader should be worthy of respect. That theme keeps repeating itself. He goes on, not greedy for money or pleasure, like the false teachers were. Nope, faithful is a key word here, trustworthy. In verse 9, he sums it up by saying, they hold to the truth with a clear conscience. In other words, they believe the truth, but they also live it too. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience, verse 9. They must first be tested, and if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. What does Paul mean by they must first be tested? Well, I've always found as a church planner that I appoint as deacons people who are already serving the people of God. They're just doing it already, and when you appoint them, people usually say, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I see them already doing that anyways, title or not. Now, verse 11 shifts to the women that are also serving as deacons, shedding further light on our passage from the previous chapter. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. There's that word again, trustworthy. Did you catch it? Verse 12. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. Repeat sure, but faithful is repeated again. At this point, you may be tempted to ask, Paul, why are you telling me all of this? So Paul shoots Timothy straight in verse 14. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's house, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So this is God's house, and God needs faithful servants to serve his family. The servants that have been there have been unfaithful in Ephesus. It might be helpful to think of Alfred, Bruce Wayne's household butler. He faithfully serves the Wayne family. When you walk in, you realize that there are certain standards of behavior, and Alfred makes sure that you know them. Alfred is trustworthy. He's respected. He has a job. He's a steward. He serves well, and you listen to him, but he's not the boss. He's a servant serving you, but he carries a certain weight, a certain air of authority about him because the master has entrusted him, so you listen to him. Why? Because Alfred thinks he's important? No, because he serves the master of the house well. He's been appointed by the master of the house, and because he's faithful and trustworthy, you know he represents the will of the master. And that's what a true leader is after all, a servant, serving the entire house for the master. He's the embodiment of Paul's last phrase, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. That's what leaders do too. But Paul adds one more description of God's house, the pillar and foundation of truth. What is that truth? To answer that, Paul quotes a Christian worship song that sums up the whole of the faith. Verse 16, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. There's a lot more to this little hymn. It's actually a stylistic masterpiece. This is what Paul calls the pure faith. And you too can hold to it with a clean conscience. You, my friend, might just be leadership material. Don't write yourself off. You may feel like an old clunker from time to time or barely roadworthy. But faithfulness is what God requires more than anything else for those who would serve his family.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.